Let's pray and then we'll begin. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength and for the souls that are here. I pray your good hand upon each one of us. I pray you too, Lord, for Christy and Taylor, for Norman, for Monica, for Ling and Frank and Will, and for all the souls that can't be with us this evening. And Lord, you just know their situations, and I pray that you would remedy them, Lord, according to your will. Also, don't forget Esther either, those that have been and gone, those that, Lord, have gone on to glory. We just pray for them all and thank you for their influence and their time and their presence. But most of all, Lord, we just thank you that you're there for us. Please bless our time together now for Stan and the folks up in Bangor, for Lord, for all of the preachers, all of the men that are prepared to stand and be counted for the cause of Christ, to preach the full counsel of your word, Lord, and let it say. Bless us and keep us and watch over us, Lord, and lead us at your feet, and pray that you would lead and guide us through the service. We love you and praise you, and ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Number four in the big books is The Way of the Cross Leads Home. Number four.
Say
for us this evening. If I set my Bible right here and you came up and read Revelation 22. Are you going to read it?
No, I'm not.
Okay. You sit there, and if you're still good on Sunday, we'll see about it then or next Wednesday. But if your wife says no, that's good enough for me. Up you come, Mr. Mark.
And I would say the Bible.
Revelation 22, last chapter in the Bible. I have a cough, I'll take my third that song, so. Revelation 22, then, well, I said no, we're reading, so okay. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard them seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I don't know if you guys remember when Marky was about that high. I was almost reaching for the chair because he looked so little. He looks about that size down there. But when he gets up close, he's about that size. I was going to get the chair and put it up because he used to come up and he was in his wee jacket and he used to come up and say something to the effect that the Lord says you need to get saved and you need to get into church and get good preaching on this. And then he was done and then he was away again. So I appreciated that, Mark. It's nice just to be able to sit and listen to it. I appreciate your offer, Steve, but Pat is more honest with how you're doing than you are. Whenever you are ready to come up and do your reading again, I am more than happy to open the floor to you. Any of you guys, any prayer requests that you want us all praying about on your behalf? Pat or Steve, anything to add to the Curry family again, I believe? Yeah. song you said this time.
Yeah.
Might not know the Curry family. Their family that lives near Pat had a lot of loss in the past couple of years, so we appreciate your prayers for them. Please do pray for Ling and Frank and Dr. Shine. They're traveling in Greece. Please do pray for Monica. She is sick enough not to be here, which means she's poleaxed and out of commission. We do appreciate your continued prayers for the church. For Norman's health, he took, he's come down with a chill or a cold or something. He's not feeling 100%, but couldn't be a better day for it. I think the weather's supposed to be poor tomorrow, so please do pray for him. And what else is there? Yep, for even during the week, we'd appreciate your prayers. We appreciate the giving that has gone on before now that will enable us to get right the way around the church. It's a matter of weather and manpower, so we appreciate your help. We appreciate the funds, and we definitely need the prayers, so please do pray for us as well. We're glad that Taylor's home, safe and sound. There was something else I was to bring to your attention as well, and I can't think what it is. No, can't think. Is there anything else? Yes, Dave.
I was thinking on the children of our schools. It's common in the news that schools everywhere are coming down with the COVID, the children.
Mm.
And the classes have been closed down isolated. And I'd like to make a prayer for the scrub to see sense and close the schools down for another month at least, or 6 weeks.
I don't know what's going to be the solution here.
Because if you don't, it's just not going to happen.
Bear in mind that the Bible said there would be famines, pestilences, earthquakes, and wars, and rumors of wars, and someone let the genie out of the bottle, and it's hard to get it back in again, so that was it. You guys were praying for Marky's job, and we're glad Marky got his job. How could I forget? My goodness.
God answers prayers.
Pray for Stan as well. I think he hurt his back or jerked his back, and he was out of commission today, so pray for him.
Is he still alive? No.
So please do pray for Stan and the family and the folks down there in Bangor. Please do pray for the Fox family. I think Alan and Grace are supposed to be coming over here at some stage around November time. So
Alan Fox. And Grace. Is that the woman or the daughter?
The daughter. So please do pray for them, for the whole family, and for the church over there. What?
Good. Well, that's the same here.
Please do pray as well for the Hand family. My mother-in-law's heart is acting up again, so please pray for Pat Hand. For the churches over there, for Phil Seeley and John Asquith and Roger Hand, and of course all the men that lead churches and are doing what they're supposed to be doing, please do pray, because there's never been a time in the whole history of man where people needed to get right with God so much as right now. Please do pray. A lot to pray about. There's a lot going on in the world with different countries and their leaders. And just need to be busy. So I'll say a wee word of prayer. And then, are you able to pray, Steve?
There's something else that you do.
Do you want to pray? And if you remember,
the same symphony by one of the Christian institutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, children are being taught from primary school what was about sexualism,
yeah,
and genderism and all that. Well, they're thinking of closing it down, shutting it off, because a few children have come unstuck, and a few have died because of being confused or whatever. There's silly things. Well, the government has had rethink it. And hopefully, it'll come out of the moment we shut GDLT out through all the other. It's sad.
Shut them down all together, take their money in a way, and it ceases doing dust.
I knew there was something out there.
Okay, that's correct. Do you want to pray, Steve, or do you want me to pray? Okay, go ahead, brother.
Listen, Father, we give thanks to you for this day, Lord, the good way you've been bestowed upon us, Lord, the work that has been done, and prayerfully, Lord. I give thanks for you giving strength to Mark and Norm and whoever else is up, Lord. I also, Lord, if you will, Lord, that I ask for healing touch upon Sister Monica. Lord, that you would give us strength, Lord. Be a quick recovery, Father. Keep us safe, Father, be well. May Mark be able to minister to her, Lord. Look after her, and be with us, Father. I ask, Lord, too, for the healing touch upon my wife. Lord, would you be? You know, Lord, that she put me up for her. Also, Lord, I love you to be well, just to be healing touch upon her as well. And for Sister Esther, too, Lord, there's much things needed, Lord, physical, spiritual, even myself, Father, both physical and spiritual, I need. You know my weaknesses, you know my strengths. You know us all, Lord, you know everything about us. What we need and what we don't need, Lord, please grant me my needs according to our own, Lord. We request for the terror as well, Lord, and we stand up and we might together now. Ask for common sense for our governments, Lord, and doing a stronger lawsuit before the healings of same-sex marriage and abortion and all, anything that comes in prison. Lord, we know that it's not good. Lord, we need help, Lord. You know everything it means. You know what we want before we even ask you, Lord. Please grant our prayers and petitions, Father. And even the prayer list as well. I give thanks to you for the devotion of my Jake and Mackie as well. Thank you, Lord, for Mackie a job today, Lord. I give thanks to you for answering our prayers there. And I ask, Lord, that you just carry on blessing me, Lord, and come to see the journey's mercy, Lord. Bless Brother Stan and Karen and the rest of the family, Mike. Lord, that you just be with them too. Now, Lord, I ask for a special prayer for Israel. Lord, that you just bless Israel and peace in Jerusalem, Father. And always, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you just organize us, the children, Lord. Lord, that souls will come to the Lord, and Lord, Savior. We pray for Israel, please. Safety of salvation to you, Lord. I ask, too, Lord, now that you will, to be with us, and be with all of us, and your spirit be upon us. God, Mother Mark, the rest of the spirit, Father. May it be a blessing to us and all our need, Lord. Please, Father. May it apply to our lives, Lord. Take it away. Lord, I ask for all these things, Lord, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through his grace and mercy, save us on the cross of Calvary. Amen.
Now, I meant to say, don't forget Norman as well.
I forgot.
It's okay, I forgot as well. Amen. Take the big hymn books and turn to 51. We'll sing hymn number 51. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing. If not, just remain seated. As long as you make a joyful noise, that's what's important.
There's a land where
thank you very much. We're putting our hymn books away and we're taking our Bibles out. And if you would like to take and turn to Judges chapter 12 with me this evening. We're going to read the last little bit of Judges chapter 12 and the first handful of verses from Judges chapter 13. So Judges 12 verse 7. And we're going to read until Judges 13 verse 7. And the title of the message this evening is Judges. Surprisingly enough. Amen. Judges chapter 12, beginning at verse number 7. And Jephthah judged Israel 6 years, and then died Jephthah the Gileadite, and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. And after him, Ibzan of Bethlehem ruled Israel. And he had 30 sons and 30 daughters, whom he sent abroad, and took in 30 daughters from abroad for his sons. And he judged Israel 7 years. Then died Ibzan and was buried at Bethlehem. And after him, Elon, a Zebulunite, judged Israel, and he judged Israel 10 years. And Elon, the Zebulunite, died and was buried in Aijalon in the country of Zebulun. And after him, Abdon, the son of Hillel, a Parathonite, judged Israel. And he had 40 sons and 30 nephews that rode on 70 ass colts, and he judged Israel 8 years. And Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Parathonite, died and was buried in Parathon in the land of Ephraim in the mount of the Amalekites. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Amen. It's really all important, but if you want a particular verse to take as a text, the first verse of chapter 13, where the Word of God says, The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. The title for the message is Judges, and we're going to spend a little bit of time thinking on the importance of judging and judges. Let's have another wee word of prayer and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Watch us and keep us, open our understanding this evening. We just thank you and love you, Lord, and pray that your will be done tonight. We leave these things at your feet for a private prayer request for the Curry family, for Norman, for Monica, for Link and Frank and Dr. Shang, for Will and Esther, and for Christy and Taylor too, Lord. Just pray for your good hand upon them this day as well. Lord, so much going on in the world, please speak to and convict. And Lord, bring to mind a remembrance of sin and judgment to come, a great conviction, Lord, for all those in positions of power and authority. And I pray most importantly, Lord, for souls to be saved and for saved souls to be edified. I love you and thank you and pray it all in your name. And according to your son, in your son's name, and according to your will, Lord, amen. Amen. All right, I didn't actually count from where we started reading in verse number 7, but there's 1, 2, 3, 4 judges. 4 judges that we read about, and in all the time that there was a judge, we're including Jephthah in there, from all of the time from Jephthah right the way through until the end of those judges, there was no bother. No bother whatsoever in the land of Israel, amongst the children of Israel. But the one thing of note, as soon as there was no judge, the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Now, these 3 judges, and all they merit is 2 verses apiece, who they were, how they died, and where they were buried. They weren't out cracking skulls. They weren't calling fire down from heaven. They weren't calling the ground to open up and swallow all of their adversaries. They weren't parting the seas. But they were certainly doing something that kept everybody right. So I got to thinking about the qualities of a judge. And I'm going to I have about 10 or 15 lines, and we'll go through them fairly quickly. You may think of a few other qualities that a judge may have had, and if you do, great. But let's have a wee look at these. First of all, a judge was a man or a woman that was used by God and made themselves ready to be used by God, and not only ready, not just aware of God's word, but applying it in their lives, and they set time aside to serve the Lord, and in this case, to govern the children of Israel. God had their ear. Do you remember Samuel when he was a little boy and the Lord called him? And he went to Eli the first couple of times, and then Eli twigged on, hold on a second, that's God calling me. What you need to say, Samuel, is, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. God had their ear, and whenever God dealt with them in their hearts or spoke to them, they listened. But more than that, they had God's ear. Their prayers were answered whenever they asked God for things. And we're not talking about, oh Lord, I want the most modern piece of transport with big rugged tires and a 4-liter engine with a tow rope and LED lights and GPS. They weren't asking for things like that. They were asking for maybe peace. Maybe they were being a little bit like Solomon and using God's wisdom to execute proper judgment in the people, but they had God's ear as well as God having their ear. They made time for God in their lives. I am sure many of the judges spent many hours in God's presence and many hours even in the Word of God, such as it was. If you think you're hard done by, with 1,800 pages of Bible to read on, the judges had less than 386 to read on and think. They really only had the Pentateuch. They were also well practiced in applying God's word to their lives, to their own lives first, and then to the lives of those that they were responsible for, and in the lives of those around about them. And as a judge of Israel, that meant everybody. They literally had the power of life and death over every single person in the family of Israel. They were also set apart by God. In other words, things were different around them. Things maybe happened around them that had no ordinary, but instead a supernatural explanation. And I'm going to tell you one of those just very shortly here. The thing about it is, when they were walking with the Lord, that would take people to, especially the judges, to places that other people wouldn't go. But also, it would keep them from places where other people would go. The Lord, in many cases, had his hand upon them from the womb. Does anybody know who we're talking about here as we...
Samson.
That's it. He had his hand upon them from the womb. And he gave them the words to speak and the deeds to do. And it's not only a matter of pressing the button on the tape recorder and listening to the words. The authority of God was behind him. Things happened, and the Lord used them to demonstrate power through their lives. They weren't worried so much about what everybody else thought. They were more concerned about keeping right with God and doing what he said and what he thought of them. There's an old adage in the Bible that says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. You're far better being friendly with God, because it's him you're going to have to deal with through the endless ages of eternity, than being an enemy of God. You might think you're on the winning side down here, but I tell you what, 70 or 80 years of life in this world is going to seem like a blink in the endless ages of eternity. Anybody think of any other qualities of a judge? Something that might...
righteous judgment.
Well, we already spent time, we already mentioned that they were well versed in God's word and they had the power to judge the whole of the country. But yes, they judged righteous judgment. So, exactly, they applied God's word to their own lives first, and then set an example of how it worked for them and would work for others. And it's great to have that. It would be great if you had someone walking beside you being this example your whole life, and then you knew that if you were more than a step or two away from them, that you were going in the wrong direction. That you were moving away from the power and the moderating influence, the words, the doctrines, the commandments, and the laws of God, you would know. Children of Israel were just like that. As soon as the judge was gone, they were away. They were goner than gone things. And we're not even talking about hundreds of years after Moses, the lawgiver, the first of the judges. Just don't forget, Moses, God used Moses to plague Egypt 10 times. And some of those were spectacular judgments. Fire coming down and running across and eating up all the crops, frogs everywhere, lice everywhere, the darkness so thick you couldn't even see the hand in front of your face, the rivers being turned to blood, plagues upon the cattle, and all that time God was separating the people from Egypt from the people of the children of Israel and showing them. Did Moses not have the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day leading them? Did he not have the rock that followed them? Did they not have their eats every single day supernaturally prepared by God? Their clothes never wore out. Imagine having that favorite comfortable sweatshirt, jeans and trainers that never wore out for 40 years and you never had to go and buy any. God did that. And the victories of God, the parting of the Red Sea, the parting of the Jordan at the start and the end of their sojourn, and then even as Joshua became the next of the judges. He had all the victories, and supernatural ones at that. We read about Gideon, and the fear that put into all the enemy soldiers, and as soon as Gideon blew the horns and struck the sides off the gourds, and they thought that the enemy was in the camp and the bad guys were killing each other with their swords. God's men never had to lift a hand because God won that battle. Do you remember Moses up when he went up the mountain to get the 10 Commandments? God wrote those out, and I'm sure in only a few minutes. And he spent the rest of his time up there getting the other 600 odd commandments from God. What happened? Moses was up at the top of the mountain. God had covered the top of the mountain with a thick smoke and a fire and one thing and another, and his voice could be heard thundering in it. In the meantime, the children of Israel, they were busy partying. They said, Aaron, go on, just make us a golden calf and we'll party. And that's exactly what they did. And God said to Moses, and it only took them 40 days, God said to Moses, look, Moses, you best get down to the people because they're corrupting themselves. They're turning away from me already. Simply because you're up here. But these things were happening within their line of sight. It's crazy. It's frightening thought that when people are not reminded about God, we don't tend to God. We tend towards worldliness and selfishness. If you do not teach a child to share their sweeties and to obey their mummy and daddy, they have no notion of ever doing that. Ever. They will always think everything should come to them. There will be no notion of sacrifice, of doing for other people at your own cost simply because it was the right thing to do. There will be no notion of goodness. The Bible says we're born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward, and that is as true today as it ever was. It's not just about judges, it's about judging. And anyone that's done any work with computers will know that every single moment of our day is there's judging involved and there's judgment involved. Most of it's done by ones and zeros. And there's a wee program saying, are you a one or are you a zero? And if you're a one, do this. And if you're a zero, do something else. Every single thing that we do is governed by judgment. And in Jeremiah 9 and 24, I think it's up on the back wall there, the Bible says God loves judgment. He also loves righteousness. And he loves loving kindness. It's like each seat on a three-legged stool. Judgment is very, very important to our lives. In fact, moms and dads will even make a point of trying to keep their kids away from bad people so that the badness doesn't creep on to their children. And there comes a time in our lives when we have to make those decisions for ourselves. But bear the verses of Scripture that says evil communications corrupt good judgment. Bear that in mind and look at who you call your friends. Whether you're saved or lost, the presence of God's word in people's lives keeps them right. There's going to be a lot of people in hell who obeyed the commandments their whole lives. They didn't steal anything. They didn't lie or cheat or steal. They were good to their moms and dads, and they went to church on a Sunday morning. And those things kept them as good people, productive people in society. But they'll never get to heaven unless they get saved. And right, in just the same way, saved people that observe the commandments behave like better saved people. And there is a reason why the old world, the flesh and the devil, does its very, very best to remove God's word from the schools, from the law courts, from even from churches when they put down these other funny books and call them a Bible, the NIVs and the NASBs and the NLTs, and it sounds like a bunch of commands from an IBM minicomputer. But those are all versions of, just a couple of versions of the Bible. I think there's hundreds of versions of the Bible that are out there, and all of them are corrupted, and all of them are hurting people. There's a lot going on today, and everywhere we look, there's things designed to take our attention off things that are very, very important. They're designed to thrill us, and to captivate us, and to tempt us, to even change the way we think, and the places that we go, and the company that we keep. And the Lord knew. Even the Bible says from the foundation of the world that the time would come when things would be so awful that each man, woman and child would need their own judge to keep them right. In the same way as the judges blessed and given the authority of God, judged the whole nation of Israel and kept them right and stopped them as a nation going bad, God has given us, if you like, our own judge to keep us right. Now, he doesn't float around beside you or over you or to that side or underneath you. And he doesn't just magically appear and all of a sudden you get the story for a Hollywood film. The Holy Spirit is given to any soul that tells God they're sorry for their sins and asks him to save them. That accepts his payment for their sins. You get the Holy Spirit. And that's your own judge. That is your actual connection to God. That is the mark of your adoption into God's family. You may have been of the family of man, but when you get saved, you become an adopted member of God's family, and you can have the same relationship with God as a little child has with their mummy or daddy, and you can talk to them about anything, you can ask him anything, and he will help you. But that is made possible by your trusting him and him alone as your Savior, and then he gives you the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, he said it somewhat differently. He said, look, whenever he was explaining the fact that he was going to give his life and then he was going to go up to heaven, he says, if I don't go, the Comforter can't come. He says, this Comforter is going to do a lot for you. He'll bring to remembrance the scriptures for you. In fact, in all honesty, every blessing that is in the Bible comes through the Holy Spirit to the obedient Christian. That's it. If you're ever in the bathrooms, Isaiah 14:31, the man says, they that wait upon the Lord. In other words, that doesn't mean you go, I wonder what God's going to say today. That's not what it means by waiting on the Lord. You guys have worked in a shop, and when you wait on a customer, what is it that you do? You get them what they want, and then you take their money. Now, it's a bit the same like that with God, except taking his money, although he does send a lot our way. That's what it means. And the Bible says that if you do things God's way, you'd be able to mount up with wings like eagles. And there's no roadblock can stop an eagle. And there is no tree that is going to slow an eagle down unless he lands on it for a wee bit of a break. There is no icy road that is going to have an eagle skidding all over the place in the air. They just fly over all of that stuff. Many battles have been fought with creatures, birds, flying over them, and not one bullet, unless someone has time to aim at a bird instead of their enemy, ever goes the way of the eagle. And God says there's a lot of things in this world will stop bothering you or getting in your way whenever you wait upon the Lord. And that all comes through the Holy Spirit, the strength of character, peace, assurance, a purpose. The greatest of purposes, to do what God asks you to do in your life, whatever it might be. Now, there's a bit of a rough one, and we'll digress a little bit that. Whenever I was 13, coming 14, I went to work in my uncle's hotel. And I was sitting down eating my beans, chips and sausages one day, and he says, right, I need someone to come and stir the porridge. And here's a few of the things I said. A, what's the porridge? He said, you'll see in 2 minutes. And B was, you can eat my sausages, and you can eat my beans, and you can eat my chips, but leave the sausages. That was with the other guys around the table. And what had actually happened, someone had thrown whole toilet bowls down the toilet, and the whole sewage system was backed up. So I was there with a belly full of beans and chips and sausages, stirring the porridge whilst he flushed the chain. How many people would fancy doing that these days at 14 years old? Sometimes God asks us to do things that we might think we are too worthy to do those. Surely there's somebody else who can do that. But if you do what God asks you to do, things will start to happen in your life. You will go to places, you will meet people, you will say things. Things will happen to you that will change you for the better and make you a better Christian. But that's up to you. Anyway, what does the Holy Spirit enable us to do? If I was to turn the page back and start reading about what judges did in the past, but I've got it conveniently written down. First of all, it gives us an open line to God. It enables us to hear what God says to us, whether that's in prayer or whether that's in preaching or Bible reading. But it also gives us the freedom to come into his presence and tell him all our heart's desires, just like the judges. We have the option. Before we were saved, all we had was an invitation to the foot of the cross. But now that we're saved, we have an invitation into God's throne room. We have the option. And we don't have to take it, but why in the world would you not want to speak to God? If Superman lived at the end of the street, would you not want to go up and speak to him? Especially if he said, come with me, we will have lots of adventures and thrills together, and I guarantee you, I will bring you safely home. You'd have kids of all ages would be away with it. But Jesus Christ, who made, in quote, Superman, says exactly the same thing, and people go, man, they don't even bother with God. But God says the same thing. Come with me. We will have many thrilling adventures and exciting times together, and I will see you safely home. We have the option of God's presence and God's power in our lives that the world and the flesh does not offer. We also have his word, and that book goes from seeming like a threatening breeze block of a book to quite literally meat and drink for the Christian. Things that will make you grow and learn more about God and give you a direction in your life. You have the opportunity to come to church. As you can see, only a few people were able to make it tonight or took the time to be here. But you have this opportunity. People missed this time. And they missed the fellowship, and they missed the prayer. They missed the obedience. They missed the joy of sweeping everything else to one side and giving God that time. And whether sick or well, they will miss the prioritizing of God first and what that does for you. What does the Bible say? To love the Lord with everything. And he will find a place for everything else. We have the opportunity to spend time in God's presence in prayer. And he will, as the Lord said, teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. We have the opportunity, and the thing that a lot of people are paying fortunes and money and taking bales of drugs to get the peace that passeth all understanding. When you talk to God about everything, and I mean everything, the things that you're doing wrong and the things that you're enjoying and the things that you're doing right, and he will help you. You will see that when you start doing these things, you tend to walk a different path to the rest of the folks in this world. And God will take you to places where others wouldn't go, and he will keep you from places where others would go. And people will start to see the Lord working in your life. What does the Bible say? Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You'll start to be worried less about what people think and be more concerned with what God thinks. And you will have a constant reminder. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, I was going to say, of my sermons, but at least the doctrines that are expressed in my sermons. The very word of God, if you take any time at all reading it, and here's a hint for you. If you ever read the word of God and you come across a verse, think, that's a really cool verse. Mark it and then learn it. And let it do its, in quotes, magic in your heart. Let it do supernatural work in your heart. And you'll have the assurance of salvation the more you walk with God, and of course, the more that you see God's prophecies fulfilled in these days. You can't help but believe in God the way things are going. You get a chance to sing and praise the Lord instead of just singing to cheer yourself up. And all the things that the Lord did for his people in the Old Testament through the judge, the Lord will do for you as an individual and for me. Now I realize that even with Moses and all the many things that he did and in front of people and the many signs and wonders that he we carried out, that many still strayed. We didn't have to. And neither do you or I. We don't have to. We can do the right thing. If you're a Christian, you have an advantage over a lost soul. You have a completely separate life to lead, a completely separate set of options in just about every situation. And there's going to come a day, and it can come sooner than you think, that the only thing that's important to you is whether you're saved and what you did in your life for the Lord. God's word says, and my advice to you would be, to get going with that sooner rather than later. Now I want to tell you what God did for me today. Christy's not exactly handy anymore whenever it comes to getting lifts. And my friend Clive works 4 days on and 4 days off at the local COVID testing centre. I just found out today that Norman's sick. Monica's so sick, she can't even drive a car. And I have a car at the mechanics that's due for an MOT on Friday morning. I have nobody, literally nobody, to take me over to the mechanics on Thursday evening or Thursday afternoon. And I was trying to juggle in my head, who am I going to talk to? What am I going to do? I says, I suppose the first thing that I would need to find out is if the car is ready. So I rang this is Uncle Sean. I rang Sean and I said, Sean, is the car ready? He says, no, it'll not be ready until tomorrow afternoon. I said, what? Tomorrow afternoon? He says, but Sean, I have to get it in for the MOT. He says, you don't have to worry about that. I took it in and put it through the MOT for you this morning. And I thought, thank you, Lord. And I had to apologize. I said, Sean, I was about to give you a hard time. And now I feel like I have to give you a couple of pots of jam and apologize. So, God works. I don't have to worry about finding a lift. I don't really even have to worry about getting out there, whatever. But you know what? I'm getting her ready in time for the MOT. God works in this day in the lives of Christians. And sometimes he even uses lost people to do it. So, remember what the difference in a person was and a judge back in the day of the Lord of Moses and Samson. And remember that all of the blessings and all of the things that God gave to that one man or one woman, he offers to each one of us that accepts him as Savior. So not only are you a king and a priest, you're a judge in the small sense of the word. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. And we'll sing a song. We've got Just a Closer Walk with You by way of our closing hymn. Hymn number 319. And then we will be dismissed. Just a Closer Walk with You.
Where with me?
Gentlemen and lady, and we'll see everybody at the next appointed time. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together. Please bless the reading and the preaching and teaching of your word. Lord, the lifting up of the praises. You know, Lord, our hearts and minds, and I pray that you would work there and not be done with us. Please continue saving souls. Please continue to edify the saints. We love you and thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit.